From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President asked TNI and Polri to support the implementation of mass vaccinations. The National Police to selectively apply the EIT law. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo thanked all ranks of the National Military or TNI and Police or Polri for always standing at the forefront of every disaster and crisis that occurred in the past 1 year. Furthermore, the President asked the National Military and Police to fully keep supporting the policy of the COVID-19 pandemic handling and to support the implementation of mass vaccinations that the government is currently doing. He made the statement in a briefing with the participants of the 2021 National Military and Police Leadership Meeting, which took place at the State Palace, Jakarta, on Monday.
Saya minta kepada jajaran TNI dan Polri untuk mendukung.
I call on the ranks of the TNI and Polri to support the implementation of mass vaccinations. Vaccinations are indeed carried out at the community health center or puskesmas. Vaccinations are also carried out in hospitals. But mass vaccination are also needed for certain clusters. It could be in market clusters, for example, or in economic service clusters, or in village clusters that have turned into red zone. It is the TNI and Polri that have speed to handle any emergencies or crisis.
Mengelola setiap kedaruratan atau krisis yang ada.
The President also instructed the TNI and Polri to support and make efforts to enforce restrictions on micro-scale community activities. According to the President, the Village Supervisory Officers or Babinsa Unit owned by the TNI and the Policy Security and Public Orders Officers or Babin Kaptipmas in Polri are units at the village level, so that its presence is expected to make the policy a success. The President hopes that everything will work integratedly so that the chain of COVID-19 transmission can be broken soon and this crisis will be over soon. The 2021 TNI and Polri Leadership Meeting was attended by around 180 high-ranking TNI and Polri officers and was held face-to-face and virtually from February 15 to the 17, 2021. The National Police or Polri will be selective in applying the Electronic Information and Transaction Law or the EIT Law in handling cases. National Police Chief General Listio Sigit stated in a press statement, along with the Indonesian military or TNI commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, after the opening of the 2021 TNI Polri Leadership Meeting at the Police Headquarters, Jakarta, on Monday.
Masalah Undang-Undang ITE juga menjadi catatan untuk ke depan.
The EIT law also becomes a note for the future to conduct selective law enforcement by prioritizing education, putting forward persuasion, and then we are seeking restorative justice measures. This is also to protect the use of articles, which are considered rubber articles in the EIT law. Of course, it has potential to be later used to report or report to one another, or better known as criminalizing under the EIT law, so it can be suppressed and avoided in the future. General Sigit further said that the National Police would prioritize education and persuasive efforts so that the use of cyber and digital space could run well. The 2021 TNI Polri Leadership Meeting, with the theme based on professionalism, solidity, and synergy, TNI Polri are ready to support the maintaining, as it say, the plenary handling of COVID-19 and the national economic recovery in maintaining national unity towards an advanced Indonesia. The meeting was held for 3 days, February 15 to the 17. The purpose of holding the 2021 TNI Polri Leadership Meeting is to strengthen the solidity of the TNI Polri ranks in order to guard the government's policies. Minister for National Development Planning or Head of the National Development Planning Agency or BAPENAS, Suharto Monoarfa, and Hungarian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Peter Szijjártó, discussed the progress of cooperation related to the environmental, defense, and health sectors. Minister Suharto said in Jakarta on Tuesday that officially the Indonesia and Hungary relations, which began on June 26, 1955, continued with an agreement to mutually support the candidacy of Indonesia and Hungary in the United Nations Security Council. Since 2016, Hungary has invested in Indonesia and in 2020 reached $1.5 billion, with the majority of investment in trade, hotels, and restaurants in the Bali and Nusa Tenggara regions. Minister Suharto said Hungary and Indonesia had committed to a number of collaborations that was focused on technology and infrastructure. In addition, Hungary has also been interested in funding the Improving National Climate and Air Quality Service, or BMKG program, and the Indonesian Attorney General's Integrated Intelligence System, as well as hospital projects under the Ministry of Defense. Now we move to the international news. Myanmar authorities filed a second charge on Tuesday against deposed leader Aung San Suu Kyi, an apparent legal maneuver that could keep her detained indefinitely. Suu Kyi's lawyer told reporters in the capital of Naypyidaw after meeting with a judge that she was charged with violating the country's COVID-19 containment restrictions. Suu Kyi, under house arrest at her official residence in Naypyidaw since this month's military coup, was previously charged with illegally possessing imported walkie-talkie radios without a license. President U Win Myint is also under house arrest. In an interview with VOA's Burmese service, the ousted leader's attorney, U Kin Maung Chau, said the country's 2008 constitution prohibits the president from being charged with criminal offenses, rendering the charges against him unlawful and invalid. Maung Chau also said the latest charge against Suu Kyi is politically motivated and aimed at keeping her under house arrest. The new charge against Suu Kyi comes as the military intensifies its crackdown after overthrowing the elected civilian government on February 1. Nationwide protests continued on Tuesday despite a shutdown of the internet for a second consecutive night. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan shared the Biden administration's desire to rebuild transatlantic ties in a call with Netherlands Foreign Policy Advisor Geoffrey van Leeuwen, and the two agreed to seek consensus on policies toward Russia and China. National Security Council spokeswoman Emily Horn said. Horn said in a press release on Tuesday that they agreed to work together on shared foreign policy priorities, including in regard to China and Russia. The two officials also discussed bilateral cooperation on advanced technologies, cybersecurity, and the importance of partnership on global challenges such as climate change. In addition, Sullivan expressed appreciation for Dutch troop sacrifices battling the Islamic State terror group banned in Russia in Iraq and the nation's participation in NATO's mission in Afghanistan. The exchange preceded a virtual meeting of NATO defense ministers on Wednesday and Thursday that is expected to stress a renewed U.S. commitment to transatlantic ties that were strained during the Trump administration, especially over European financial support for the Western alliance. UK Foreign Minister Dominic Raab will urge the UN Security Council on Wednesday to agree a resolution for negotiated ceasefires in conflict zones around the world to enable vulnerable people to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and supporting equitable access to vaccines, the Foreign Office has announced. According to excerpts of his speech released in advance to the press, the UK Foreign Secretary will also use the UK's presidency of the Security Council this month to warn members that allowing the virus to spread in areas without vaccination campaigns means a greater risk of new variants taking hold and further waves sweeping the world. In an online briefing with London-based foreign correspondents ahead of Wednesday's meeting in New York, the UK Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Barbara Woodward, said that more than 160 million people worldwide are at risk of being excluded from coronavirus vaccination because of instability and conflicts. Woodward also highlighted that the UK is one of the largest donors to the COVID-19 Global Vaccine Access Initiative by committing £548 million, or $762 million in UK aid to help distribute 1.3 billion doses of coronavirus vaccines to 92 developing countries this year. We end the news with the UN Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Myanmar, Tom Andrews, issued a statement calling on all actors with influence in the country to convince the military to refrain from violence ahead of protests planned for Wednesday. Andrew said on Tuesday evening that he was issuing an urgent call on all governments, individuals, and entities that may have influence on Myanmar military authorities to use that influence to convince the junta that rallies planned for Wednesday must be allowed to proceed without detentions or violence. Andrews also said he received reports of soldiers being transported to the city of Yangon, where a rally has been called for following the beginning of a secret trial of State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi and President Win Myint. Andrews also urged the international business community to immediately call interlocutors in the State Administrative Council and warn about the risk of suspending business in Myanmar if violence against protesters continues. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The Myanmar military junta did not budge despite pressure from the United States and the United Nations. Instead of reducing violence against protesters, the military rulers increased their pressures on Aung San Suu Kyi. After being accused of illegally possessing a walkie-talkie, the civilian leader faces a second criminal charge. Military authorities accuse Suu Kyi of violating Myanmar's Natural Disasters Act. Last Saturday, the military junta has enacted a law to be able to arrest anyone deemed to be disturbing security without going through procedures. Even so, the people of Myanmar continue to protest against the military coup and ask their leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, to be released. The United Nations has warned the junta to stop treating protesters harshly. In a statement, UN envoy Christian Schraner-Bergener said there would be severe consequences if the military carried out acts of violence against protesters. The UN also emphasized that blocking the internet violates the basic principles of democracy. Against various pressures, including sanctions imposed by the United States, the military junta only stated that it will hold a general election, without confirming when it will be implemented. They promised to hand over power to whoever wins the election. In the lead up to the coup, the military had stated that the election, which the LDP party won absolutely, were fraudulent. Myanmar is a country in Southeast Asia that has recently embraced a democratic system through general election. The change in the political and state administration system in Myanmar is one of the reasons that has made ASEAN accept Myanmar as a member. At that time, Western countries, including the United States, saw democratizations in Myanmar as a good sign and a new era. But a recent military coup in the country has reversed international views. Meanwhile, the military, which is now in power after staging a coup, seems to have not been disturbed by international views, criticism, or even sanction. If the United States immediately pays attention and imposes sanction, this will not be the case with China. So far, China seems silent and does not react to the coup in Myanmar. It is only natural that the civilian protesters in one of their demands ask Beijing not to support the military junta. Whether China will act differently from the United States, the international community still has to wait for further development. That was commentary.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on February 17, 1979 about China and Vietnam War. China and Vietnam War, which is also called as the Third Indochina War, is a bloody border battle in 1979 which happened between People's Republic of China and the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. People's Republic of China launched an attack in response to the invasion and occupation of Vietnam on Cambodia, which ended the rule of the Chinese-backed Khmer Rouge. After a short battle in North Vietnam, Chinese troops then withdrew from Vietnam several months later. Both China and Vietnam claimed victory in the last of the Indochina War. Moving on to an event on February 17, 2006 about Guinsaugon landslide. A landslide hit Guinsaugon village, later island, the Philippines. This disaster happened on Friday, February 17, 2006, after Mount Kanabak collapsed and buried all buildings in Guinsaugon village. A total of 240 students and teachers in a school were buried. An official state statement mentioned that 1,126 people died in the disaster and 5,000 people from 11 villages around the area were evacuated. We end today in history on February 17, 2008, when Kosovo gained independence. Kosovo proclaimed independence from Serbia on February 17, 2008. Kosovo's independence was recognized officially by various countries, including Albania, the United States, the United Kingdom, France, and Turkey. The countries which rejected Kosovo's independence are China, Russia, and Serbia. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is about Industry Ministry facilitates food and small medium industry to get international standard certification. Indonesian Industry Ministry tried to make food small medium industry not only survive the pandemic, but also can expand their market wider, even abroad. That was stated by Director General for Small Medium and Multifarious Industries, Gati Wibawaningsih, in Jakarta on Saturday. Gati said, the food small medium industry has a great growth potential. Moreover, it has a role to increase added value for local natural resources as well as fulfill domestic and international market demand. From the total 4.5 million small medium industries in Indonesia, 1.6 million are in the food sector. The Director General remarked a support from the Industry Ministry for the small medium industry is Food Quality and Safety Improvement Program with Hazard Analytical Critical Control Point or HACCP certification. HACCP is an international standard food security that is required for every food producer to guarantee the safety of their product until consumption. Recently, the small, medium, and multifarious industries Directorate General held a four-day webinar on food small medium industries to have an international standard safety and quality guarantee. The materials on discussion include good processed food production, HACCP early steps, and HACCP principles. From 488 webinar participants, only 50 passed the curation and will be facilitated by the Directorate General to get the guidance and HACCP certification. By having the certificate, it will be easier for small-medium industry to market their product abroad. Meanwhile, HACCP consultant Jamal Zamrudi said HACCP certification can be obtained if the food small-medium industry has the industrial business license, food home industry or domestic food license, and halal certificate. The certificate will be issued to guarantee the consumer that the product is safe for consumption and free from chemical, biological, and physical contaminants. In 2012 until 2019, through Product Certification Development and Implementation Program, the Industry Ministry had facilitated HACCP certification for 33 small medium industries, while 500 others were facilitated halal certification.
Welcome to the new normal. Now we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keeps your distance when doing activities and avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Itu
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Bogor tourism is not only Puncak. There is also tourism of beautiful rice fields, such as in Mulia Harja Thematic Village. Enjoying weekends with your partner or family is appropriate to visit Mulia Harja Organic Tourism Agro Education or IWO, or also known as Mulia Harja Thematic Village. There you will be greeted by a stretch of rice fields that refresh your eyes. This tourism of rice fields is unique compared to similar tourism in Tegalalang, Ubud, or Suwargabumi in Magelang, because these rice fields are located in an organic farming area which is managed directly by the local people. According to head of the tourism driving group Mulia Harja Oji, or known as Kang Ojos, this rice field area has been developed by the adult farmer group since 1987. Then in 2013, the rice fields were planted with organic rice, and in 2017, it was developed into a location for agricultural education tourism. For 3 years, IWO Mulia Harja was developed into an integrated organic agricultural tourism area. Until the end of 2020, the Mulia Harja Group was given a grant worth 2.8 billion rupiah from the Bogor City Government to further strengthen this tourism. A number of facilities are available there, ranging from Instagrammable photo spots, huts to relax, cafes, and MSMEs kiosks, as well as educational facilities such as sheep sheds, making biogas from cow dung, to catfish ponds. Mulia Harja Tourism Driving Group has a target of creating the Mulia Harja Golden Triangle, which combines educational tourism, culinary delights, and modern hangout location. Currently, to enjoy tourism at IWO Mulia Harja, you only need to pay 10,000 rupiah. You can come from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. There are many exciting activities that you can do at Mulia Harja Thematic Village, from enjoying the rice fields to staying overnight at residence houses. IWO Mulia Harja has an area of 23 hectares of organic rice fields, but until now, only 5 hectares have been equipped with tourism facilities. For those of you who like to take pictures, you do not need to worry, because the Mulia Harja Thematic Village also provides several Instagrammable photo spots. Organic farming education is an advantage of this thematic village compared to other villages. For those of you who want to try this activity package, you can make a reservation in advance. The price is 2.5 million rupiah for 30 people. The package includes planting facilities, instructors, and snacks. It is not complete if you visit this Mulia Harja Thematic Village without enjoying its traditional culinary delights. You can enjoy savory rice with additional dishes of grilled or fried chicken, fried tofu and tempeh, karedok, and jengkol stews. And you only pay 30,000 rupiah per portion. Meanwhile, for drinks, one cup of bajigur is available at a price of 50,000 rupiah. In addition, there are also other drinks such as coffee, tea, and chocolate at a price of 15,000 rupiah per glass at the Saung Kopi Cafe. One more fun activity that you can enjoy is to stay with the local residents who work as farmers. At IWO Mulia Harja, there are 20 houses that will welcome your arrival. For a package that costs 300,000 rupiah per person to stay for 3 days 2 nights, you can enjoy life at the village with the local residents and get 3 meals a day. Usually, each house can accommodate 5 tourists. Holidays with family will certainly be more exciting if you still apply health protocols. Listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about liburan or holiday. Stay tuned. Listen to the conversation about mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai, which means why do you like going to the beach? This conversation is between Kevin and his workmate.
Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai?
Karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Mengapa, mengapa, which means why. Pergi, pergi, which means go. Di pantai, which means at the beach. Ke pantai, which means to the beach. Karena, karena, which means because. Ombak, ombak, which means waves. Suka, suka, which means like. Bermain ombak, which means playing waves. Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Which means, why do you like going to the beach? In the dialogue, you listen to a question, mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Which means, why do you like going to the beach? In the question, there is a word, mengapa, which means why. In Indonesian, the question word, mengapa, is used to ask the reason why something happens. For example, mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Which means, why do you like going to the beach? To answer the question, it uses the word karena, karena, which means because. For example, karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak. Karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak, which means because I can play waves at the beach. Besides karena, another expression to state a reason is sebab, sebab, which means cause. Here are other examples of conversation to ask and say a reason. Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Which means, why do you like going to the beach? Karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak. Karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak. Which means, because I can play waves at the beach. Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai? Which means, why do you like going to the beach? Sebab di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak. Sebab di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak. Which means, 'cause I can play waves at the beach. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Mengapa kamu suka pergi ke pantai?
Karena di pantai aku bisa bermain ombak.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a song from South Sumatra entitled Sayang Selayak. The song Sayang Selayak has a short lyric and a little bit repetitive that makes it easy to be sung. Therefore, some interpretations about the song state the song has deep meanings. The lyrics contain a message to love each other, not only to humans, but also to the nature. The song from South Sumatra is often performed in many opportunities, and it becomes a suggestion for its listeners. Well, listener, here is the song Sayang Selayak by Vienna Fridiana and Denisa Fidi.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Menyilap lampu ambek kusitan di pucuk meja. Petang lapatang kemana aku dan dia umpah di pepada.
Baju kurung bekancing tiga di bata endong keselangit. Amunlah urung ancaman kita alangkah panjang karang tangis. Amunlah urung ancaman kita alangkah panjang karang tangis.
Betanglah patah menyilap lampu ambek kusitan di pucuk meja. Batanglah patah kemana aku dan dia umbang di pepada.
Kepiak berlina-lina mati disambar burung binti. Siang terkena malam terkena di batak tidur menjadi mimpi. Siang terkena malam terkena di batak tidur menjadi mimpi. Petanglah patang menghilap lampu ambek kusitan di pucuk meja. Petanglah patang kemana aku dunia umbang di pepadang.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.